Good morning. This is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Tuesday, November 8th, 2022, and today's audio version is of the post, "The Scary Scrubber Teaches Me About the Motivational Power of Pain." This is long overdue. This is my first members post, first audio post in quite a while. I have been a little preoccupied. As always, inserting a little personal content into the audio for the members. So my parents have had COVID, and that's been a big deal. My dad in particular has had a lot of trouble. They are coming out of the woods now, but I think after a fairly long development process for this content, literally months, you know, like chipping away at it over months, much of this year, it was pretty much ready to go, I think, before my parents got sick. And not much has happened since then. Haven't gotten a lot of work done. It's a real poop storm here. This fall is kind of crazy for me so far. In addition to the illness in the family, I've also had both the largest data integrity incident of my career and the largest security incident of my career. Lots of technology work. I like easily half my working hours in September, on October, and still so far into November, half my time has been spent on wrangling the tech. Live by the tech, die by the tech. I haven't had to do so much work on my tools, maintaining my shop, ever. It's just been bonkers. So I'm sorry this is rather late. And as I mentioned in my last post, I'm sure you're all too busy with too much to read to have noticed. But believe me, I know when I'm late. Never doubt that. Without further ado, an expression I hate, let's get on with the post. So imagine if pain didn't really bother you. If it was just data, a safety bulletin. It's quite a reach to imagine that, isn't it? Can you even call that pain? This post is mostly about the phenomenon and implications of pain asymbolia, which is just pain without emotion or meaning, like a robot would feel it. Ouch, that is very painful. If I was human, this would be very emotional. I will now make a face to indicate that I am hurting. Ow, ow, ow. This is actually possible, though only with brain damage. But the phenomenon is fascinating and instructive, and in this post I will tell the scary scrubber story. I will dig into the science of pain asymbolia a bit. I'll explain the example of the brave mouse. And I will speculate about how pain asymbolia could prevent the trauma of pain. And I will correct this typo. There's a missing word here. Bear with me for a moment. It's a raw and uncut, unedited audio for you. How exciting. If I had to edit it, it wouldn't happen. As I can barely make time for this as it is. You just get to listen to me fix typos. So why I won't call this a podcast? Because if I called it a podcast, it would be too professional sounding, and I couldn't bear to tolerate the glitches and rough edges. I'd have to sand them all down. So we can't have that. I don't have time. So the scary scrubber taught me about the motivational power of pain. What is this story? I was washing dishes with a copper scrubber, and a loose end of copper wire slid several millimeters into the flesh under a fingernail. A tiny little freak accident. It felt like a deep bee sting. Like a bee crawled under the end of my finger and stuck his butt underneath my fingernail, and he had an unusually long stinger and just sunk it all the way in. It was horrible. Subtle, but horrible, if that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't incredibly painful at first, but it was like, oh, something's inside my fingernail. It shouldn't be there. That's bad. It hurt. Don't get me wrong. It hurt. But it wasn't as painful as you'd think. It was more of just this disturbing sensation. And I think maybe that disturbingness has something to do with what happened here. Because the next day, I found myself weirdly unable to touch that scrubber. The scary scrubber had stung me, and using it with my bare hands felt as repellent as sticking my hand in a blender. Even though it was super unlikely that it would sting me like that ever again, I was incredibly motivated not to touch it with my bare hands. Like it had a force field around it, like trying to press two magnets together, like trying to walk really close to the edge of a drop-off when you're afraid of heights. My brain was just not having it. And yet, for contrast, a similar scrubby, a steel one in better condition, did not trigger the same motivation. My brain apparently only perceived scruffy scrubbers as scary. And there's your dose of alliteration for the day. So that's the motivational power of pain on display, its significance to us, its implications for behavior. And that's what would have been missing if I'd had pain asymbolia. If only I would have been aware of the scrubber's sting, but it would not have intimidated me after that. That is what pain asymbolia can do for you. So what is it? Emotionally neutral pain. What does this mean? Well, pain is both a sensory and an emotional experience. Pain is defined as the experience, and the experience contains a lot in addition to just the sensation and the perception and the emotional experience. In general, the suffering is tightly welded to the sensation, so much so that they seem synonymous. To hurt is to dislike hurting. Mostly. Obviously, there's a significant disclaimer here. To hurt is to dislike hurting presumes a threatening context. Yet another weird thing about pain is that it is actually possible to be happy about it, which is also about the emotional experience of pain. And presumably impossible for someone with pain asymbolia, which is a bit of a bummer for them. And if the emotional experience is positive for whatever reason, then we can like the sensation of pain. I can't think of a reason why we would. Nope, drawing a blank here. Can't come up with anything. But note the obvious. There are definitely limits to how much and what sort of pain can be enjoyed. Kidney stones, never sexy. No matter how much you like to be dominated. Does not happen. So, you know, the brain knows. The brain knows that some pain is over the line and not to be enjoyed no matter what. Unless, you know, maybe you've got pain asymbolia. In which case, you can do anything you want emotionally with your pain. So what if you could mute the unpleasantness of pain, which, and of course, most pain is, I don't know, like, of all the pain in the world right now, probably 99.9% of it is considered unpleasant by the people experiencing it. So what if you could mute the unpleasantness of the pain? What if you could be conscious of a burn, but not concerned by it? What if it had no effect on your behavior? You didn't particularly care whether or not you pull your hand away from the hot burner. And you know that you should, but you don't care. That's pain asymbolia, pain without meaning, and it is actually a thing caused by physical or pathological damage to specific brain structures. So yeah, you got to get brain damage to do this, to have this. Here's a description of pain asymbolia from one of my key sources, Grahek, in 2007. It's a book called Feeling Pain and Being in Pain. Grahek writes, pain asymbolia is a condition where pain doesn't feel bad. When people with this condition sustain an injury, they accurately sense it and will describe the associated feeling as pain, but the pain is not unpleasant and they're not motivated to avoid it. In other words, they have pain that doesn't hurt. How can that be? The answer seems to involve damage to certain parts of the brain associated with emotion. So this is considered rare, but it also, and this is a very Paul thought that I always have about these things. If it's a spectrum condition, then how would you even know if it was more common? Because a lot of people would have just a little bit of it. I think it's entirely plausible that the full-blown, you know, clear, obvious version of pain asymbolia is almost certainly very rare. But subtly, could be a lot of people who have it a little bit. How would you even know if you were missing just a little of your pain's meaning? Never mind anyone else. How would you know about your own pain's meaning? You don't know how much a pain is supposed to mean to you. And so quote, it is possible that pain asymbolia occurs more frequently than is currently assumed. So it's not just a Paul thought. Who is this? Jan and Steinberg in 2020 wrote that. They also had this thought. Here's a quote from their paper. The experience that people react very variably to comparable pain triggers, we've all done it before, is perhaps too carelessly attributed to individual physical, gender-related, psychological, or cultural religious factors. In principle, this is, of course, correct and important, since ancient times, pain concepts and explanation models have been subject to constant change, and the central nervous pain modulation, also in connection with the above-mentioned factors, has been researched for decades. But couldn't there be, they write, couldn't there be a pain symbolist behind one or the other patient with noticeably reduced pain sensitivity? Yeah, there really could. Expanding on this idea that I have and often do have about biology is that an immense amount of what we tend to attribute to personality and basically variations in the nature of people is often actually pathology. A lot of distinctive traits in people arise from an incredible variety of things that go wrong with human bodies. And some of the weird ways that some people handle pain absolutely could be attributed to a little bit of pain asymbolia, for instance. I totally thought about pain asymbolia when I read the story. I can't remember how recent it is, but it's a story of and I think I shared it on the blog recently. I can't remember. He's an Eastern European pilot who crashed. And basically a tree trunk, like 6 inches in diameter, a huge branch went right through his shoulder. And he was shockingly sanguine about the entire thing. And when the rescuers arrived, his first words to them hilariously were, "I am Groot." Yeah, I think I did write about this. I remember reading in a past audio version. I remember telling this story already. I thought about pain asymbolia when I read this guy's story, and he went to the hospital and was joking with the doctors about removing the sliver from his shoulder. You know, this guy wasn't worried about his pain at all, and it, you know, there had to be an immense amount of pain information, of data about threat, had to be. But his brain wasn't doing with that information what most of our brains would do with it. And there's many possible explanations for that, but pain asymbolia, or a bit of it, is one of them. Another interesting weird idea here is that it's also possible that pain isn't the only thing that can lose its emotional meaning. Because we're talking about brain damage that affects parts of the brain that process emotion. Probably it affects other aspects as well. The casualness about pain might be only the most obvious effect of losing, quote, a general capacity to care about bodily integrity. And that's from Klein in 2015, a paper called What Pain Asymbolia Really Shows. So people with pain asymbolia, they know that they're in pain, but they're not fussed about it. If it represents an obvious danger, they're aware of the danger intellectually, but they aren't highly motivated to avoid it. They are not, for instance, spooked by things that have hurt them in the past, like dish scrubbers. Okay, next up, mice. You're getting a lot of extra content, by the way. This is, of the reads that I've done, I don't think I've ever gone off script more than I have in this one so far. I'm practically doubling the length of it so far. Okay, so next section, the brave mouse, the unpleasantness of pain relieved. Pain asymbolia was experimentally induced in mice in a 2019 experiment by muting a brain region. That was Corder et al. Corder and Ahananu, that's a fun name, Ahananu and Gru. Corder, Ahananu, and Bru. Rolls off the tongue. Mice, they induced this. They made mice not care about their pain. And not only does this result stand out for its potential clinical implications, because they were able to induce it, maybe if it can be induced in mice, maybe yes. It's also an important validation of the existence of the phenomenon of pain asymbolia, which has always been a little bit of a ghostly phenomenon. case studies of asymbolia being as rare as Bigfoot sightings and almost as unclear. Painting asymbolia is not such a blob squatch that there's been serious doubt about its existence, but there are reasonable questions about how to explain the case reports that we do have. Jan et al. Again say this, quote, "The detailed internet-based literature research in PubMed provides relatively few articles from the last few decades, which are often individual case reports or of a more philosophical nature. In fact, we dare say most of the readers of this article have never even heard of pain asymbolia before. So was Schulder wrong and perhaps presented a heterogeneous patient clientele with very different causes of pain perception disorders? After all, there are many." End of quote. Yeah, there are. There are a lot of ways that pain perception can get warped. That's a big point of a lot of the writing that I do. But when you can demonstrate pain asymbolia by disabling neurons in the BLC, that's the part of the brain that we're talking about, that is a game changer. That makes this more real, much more real. So if you were thinking throughout all this, I don't know, that's pain asymbolia, is it even real? It's a lot more real since this mouse experiment, a lot more. If you had no idea what I meant by blob squatch, that term is a skeptical reference to the fact that the only Sasquatch that anyone has ever photographed is just a blurry blob, same as with all the other popular cryptids and UFOs and UAPs, etc. So the sarcastic point of blob squatch is that Sasquatch Bigfoot must actually be a blurry blob. So the photos are just accurate photos of a blurry critter. So pain asymbolia has been a bit of a blob squatch, but not that much of one, and definitely much less after this mouse experiment. When I first came across the mouse study, it seemed really neat, but also kind of irrelevant to real pain patients. Some cool brain science that is years from helping real people at best, if it ever does. Plus, it's a mouse study, and the leap from mice to humans is often a deal breaker, although perhaps less so in this case. Here's an aside I should include. Mice can be excellent models for human physiology, but they're also infamously misleading, hence the charming research expression, mice lie and monkeys exaggerate. But mice are better models for brain research than metabolic stuff. And in this case, the BLC was targeted because we already knew something about its role in human pain, and pain system traits are generally highly conserved in the animal kingdom. That is, they're quite similar in many animals over very long periods of evolution because they're hard to change without compromising fitness. You don't want to tinker with that system. It breaks stuff in almost any animal. We still have that mouse-human chasm to break. No, that's not right. Sorry, I read that wrong. We still have that mouse-human chasm before we break out the champagne. Oh, no, that sentence is just broken, isn't it? Here's what I'm trying to say. There's a human-mouse chasm. We got to cross it before we break out the champagne and celebrate our ability to eliminate pain asymbolia, or to induce it, rather. God. Yeah, okay. That's like the biggest verbal screw-up I've had in one of these reads in ages, and I'm not going to correct it. But after reading Todd Hargrove's thoughts on this, I am more impressed and optimistic than I was at first with the potential practical implications. It could still take years, of course, but these blah neurons, BLA neurons, may actually be very important. I'm with Todd. I think that the study is, quote, an encouraging sign that reductionist and brain-centric techniques for understanding and controlling pain might be making progress. It's a welcome change from the all-too-common experience of reading papers where the main takeaway is something like, wow, pain is so complex, or we know even less than we thought we knew. That's Todd's quote. Totally agree. That is often all we get out of this stuff, and I've written lots like that. Sorry about it. Plenty of stuff without practical implications, but, fascinating. For our purposes in this article, I think that it's also a vivid demonstration of the complexity of the experience of pain and how it can occasionally be broken into its constituents like a beam of light passing through a prism. and thus teaching us more about what the experience of pain consists of. And that's a little bit better, even if this never turns into a therapy. That's a little bit better than just, wow, pain is so complex. Breaking it into its components, exposing what the pain experience consists of in a really tangible way is cool. That's really quite informative. That really teaches us something about how pain works. And you can ask yourself every time you have pain for the rest of time, what component is sensation and what is the emotional component? What does it mean to me? What does it feel like? And what does that feeling mean to me? They are different things, even if they're very, very tightly held together most of the time. They are different things, and that is maybe useful, certainly very cool. One last deep thought: preventing the trauma of chronic pain. If one stab under the fingernail can turn me into a person that cannot bring himself to pick up a dish scrubber, imagine what serious chronic pain can do to a person's personality. A continuous bombardment of a strong and extremely unpleasant motivation to avoid something they cannot avoid or often even identify sounds a lot like literal torture. This is why people are traumatized and transformed as people by pain. But that might not happen if the BLA was inhibited, which is a pretty wild thought. Induced pain asymbolia could be the best of both worlds. You could still be aware of critical safety information about the world around you, avoiding the disaster of being completely insensitive to pain, which is also a thing that can happen with brain damage and is far more destructive. People like that tend to die. But you also avoid the emotional disaster of being traumatized by the experience. So less of a problem with perhaps more of a benefit. It'd be really great if we could inhibit the BLA and get ourselves even a little bit of pain asymbolia, maybe someday. All right, that's the post. Pretty rambly. I hope it sounded okay, guys. I am rattled. My brain is cottage cheese after the last couple of weeks. What a ride it has been. Last week, I kept saying at the end of the week, what a week. And at the end of another week, I'm like, what a 2 weeks. It's been nuts. Fortunately, almost everything about this post except the read was done quite a while ago. So all I had to do was sit here and point my voice at this microphone and talk to you for a while. So it's been fun. Until next time, take care.